Good morning. I welcome you all to worship this morning, and we extend a warm welcome to those who are listening to this service in their homes or at a later date. You're all invited to join in and participate in worship. The promise you made, the work you have done, is fulfilled. We have seen it. Your expression of grace and love, your coming into our world and switching on the lights so we can see where to go and how best to live. The way you have chosen us, filled us with your spirit, with your presence, with your wisdom. The way you allow your goodness and compassion and grace to peek through our brokenness. These are gifts beyond measure. These are what make life truly alive. And so we praise you and celebrate you, Christ, child of God, light to the nations and the glory of your people. Amen. We acknowledge that we are gathering in worship on the traditional country of the Kaurna people of the Adelaide Plains. And we pay respect to elders past and present. We recognize and respect their cultural heritage, beliefs and relationship with the land. We acknowledge that they are continuing importance to the Kaurna people living today. Let's enjoy the song, The Virgin Mary, and sing along quietly.
Thank you. I too welcome you to worship this morning. Great to see you here on this post-Sunday after Christmas. Last one for this year of 2020. Thank goodness for that. Well, you know what I mean. Please join with me in prayer as I pray. Holy God, Father, Son, and Spirit, let our first prayer be to you words of praise. Praise for the joy of Christmas. Praise for the embodiment of living hope in the life of Jesus. Praise for the wonder of angels, messengers, and shepherds. Praise for the experience of the young and the old. Praise for the faithful and the faith empty. Praise for the exuberant and the weary. However this new day finds us, let praise be found, loud and clear, quiet and gentle. May our praise shine through our singing, humming and mumbling. May our praise glow through our adoration. All through and in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. So I'd like to invite Jenny to light our Advent candles this morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Jenny. Our gospel reading this morning is from St. Matthew's Gospel and chapter 1, reading from verses 18. Now the birth of Jesus the Messiah took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been engaged to Joseph, before they lived together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. Her husband Joseph, being a righteous man and unwilling to expose her to public disgrace, planned to dismiss her quietly. But just when he resolved to do this, an angel said to him, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you are to name him Jesus. For he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what had been spoken by the Lord through the prophets. "Look, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall name him Emmanuel," which means God is with us. When Joseph awoke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took her as his wife, but had no marital relations with her until she had borne a son, and he named him Jesus.
Let us pray. Forgive those times when our praise has been lackluster, empty or without thought. Forgive us when we leave our praise behind in church and forget to bring it into our daily lives. Forgive us, whatever these days of Christmas have been, when we have overlooked the faith that gives meaning to this time of year. We return now to you, seeking mercy and seeking the presence of the Christ child, that our hearts might be refreshed and our faith reinvigorated. God of the shepherd's field and the stable and the temple, God of the family and God of the single, God of the bright lights and God of the dark places. Come to us now with hope and with blessing, accepting our praise through words and song and silence, shaping our actions into the reality of your love, working in our world through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our next song, Angels from the Realms of Glory, and hum along to this, please. Don't sing.
Our second reading this morning comes from the book of Galatians, chapter 4, and reading from verse 4. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a child, then also an heir through God.
Imagine, if you can, that it's Christmas night, the night of Christmas, around 50 AD. And you're watching the ABC, and on comes a religious program called Compass. Compass has been advertising secured an exclusive interview with the great Christian theologian Paul of Tarsus, a once Jewish Pharisee, now turned to being a follower of the man Jesus. Good evening, and welcome to Compass tonight, on this Christmas night. Our guest tonight is Paul from Tarsus. Good evening, Paul, and welcome to the show. Well, thank you very much. Great to be here. Should we call you Mr. Paul or Mr. Tarsus? Oh, just Paul will do fine, thank you. Well, Paul, you've written many letters to different churches, and they mainly focus on the death and, well, you know, the resurrection or the coming into life of Jesus, the great man Jesus of Nazareth. Yes, that's right, because I believe the death of Jesus is important and God for God and God's love to be known to all people. Yeah, well, that's great, but we brought you on here tonight to talk about Christmas, as you seem to write little about it. Why is that? Oh, no, please don't get me wrong. You know, no. Oh, yeah, nah, don't get me wrong. The birth of Jesus is very important because you can't have Easter without Christmas. And remember, Jesus is, after all, the reason for the season. Yeah, well, thank you, Paul. That's great. Well, tell me, what do you make then of the birth of Jesus, the so-called Son of God, the Messiah, Jesus the Christ? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let me tell you. You see, the gospel writers, they didn't go far enough. They spent a lot of time trying to establish the fact about Jesus' birth. Well, only two of them in anyway. Mark, the gospel writer, didn't seem very interested at all. Doesn't have any stories of Jesus' birth. It wasn't until John's gospel that is given. Matthew and Luke, they simply tell the story in their own way. And they add wise men, wise ones, camels even, if you're here on Christmas night, Christmas Eve, stars, shepherds, sheep, the angel or two, and of course the gifts that were brought. But for me, you see, I was more interested in the why of Christmas, not the how. Why the God of the universe would become a human. I tried to explain that in my letter to the Galatian church. Well, hang on. Well, Paul, tell us what you mean. Okay, this is what I wrote, and you had it read out a minute ago. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as children. And because you are children, God has sent the Son, the Spirit of the Son, into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So you are no longer a slave, but a child. And if a slave, then also an heir through God. Look, better to understand what I mean, I think I need to do this in 3 points, like a good sermon, all answering the question of why Christmas. Okay, Paul, I'm sure our viewers would appreciate a brief 3-point sermon. What's the first? Okay, the first one is God's unity with humanity. What? Sorry, I thought you said they would be simple points. Unity with humanity? Yeah, well, listen. One of the key elements of the Christmas story is that it is of incarnation. Which reminds me, what would you have if everyone in Israel had a pink car? A pink carnation. No, seriously, incarnation means God in the flesh. God becoming human in the man Jesus. Don't ask me how, because I said right from the start I'm not interested in how, but rather why. Why would God choose to do this? You may have heard the term Emmanuel. Yeah, I used to know an Emmanuel in school. She was pretty cute. No, not Emmanuel, but Emmanuel. Okay, the name given to Jesus, if you like. You see, the best way for us to know God, personally and intimately, meant that God needed to become human, to walk the earth and experience our emotions and become one with us. God's unity with humanity. God is a true blue bloke in Jesus. 100%, 100% divine. Heavy stuff, hey? Okay, Paul, so your second point is? Okay, right. God's purpose for humanity. But didn't we just cover that? No, the point is this. This point explains the bigger part of the reason why Jesus was born. I wrote something like this. To redeem those under the law, that is, you and me, to redeem simply means to buy back or to exchange. Like a Kmart gift voucher. Oh, sorry, you don't have Kmart yet. Okay. Like a gift voucher from Bunnings, because Bunnings has been around for ages. The reason Jesus came to redeem the world by offering his place in our place, to redeem or to exchange. Sounds a bit like Easter, Paul, doesn't it? Rather than Christmas. Yeah, you're right. But I think we can't separate Christmas and Easter. Christmas is the beginning of God's story, and Easter is the completion or the continuation of it. Just remember this. The babe of Bethlehem became also the Christ of the cross. Okay, Paul, we've got unity with humanity, and we've got God's purpose for humanity. What's the third point? I can hardly wait. Okay, the third point is this. God's gift to humanity. I wrote saying that we might receive adoption as children. You see, God's gift to us is that we receive a new name, a new identity, a new hope, a new purpose in Christ. Why? Because we are all children of God. We're all adopted, if you like, sons and daughters of God. Great news. And that's what makes this all happen. Jesus says that it's simply by accepting, by faith and belief, that we are God's children. My mate, John, wrote down these words and said this. Jesus said, I have come that you might have life and life in all its fullness and full living. So that's the good news of Christmas, that Jesus came as a gift to us. Hey, that's worth celebrating. God's gift, God's love has been given to us. Why don't we share it? That's right. Why don't we share it? Let's not forget the importance of Christmas, like gifts that we give of hope, peace, joy, and love, goodwill to everyone. Well, Paul, thanks for coming out this morning or this evening. Oh, it's been my pleasure. And to you and all your viewers, may Christmas be a time of celebration, a time of sharing, and a time of love and laughter, a time of peace, a time of quiet joy and ever-growing faith. May your Christmas be a holy time as together we remember Emmanuel, God with us. Well, thanks, Paul. It's been a pleasure. Next week on Compass, we'll be investigating the claim that there were not three wise men and that there was no donkey. And certainly Jesus did cry, because if he didn't, you'd be a very, very worried parent. So see you next week and have a happy and safe Christmas and New Year. And the Compass theme song comes on. But our Compass theme song is Infant Holy.
Oh,
I'd like to invite Bruce up with a special announcement to make.
Thank you. Thank you, Craig. Good morning, Moriarty and beyond. It's my great pleasure to introduce you to Alice Croker, who will be stepping in to Bob's shoes during his long service leave. We welcome you, Alice, and as a way of continuing that welcome, can I ask people who perhaps, like me, don't wear their name tags to actually get into the habit of doing that so that Alice has a better than even chance of being able to welcome you and talk to you by name. If, however, you don't, please make yourself known to Alice and share with her your name. Remember, you've only got to remember one name, but Alice needs to remember quite a number more than that. Alice is going to spend some time with us at the end of the service, and I would invite you to please make yourself known to her in a COVID-safe manner as we share in fellowship in the hall. Alice will be here on a 0.5 basis during Bob's long service leave, and we look forward to sharing our time together with you. Alice, it is a really good thing that you are here, and we look forward, as I said, to being a team together. Thank you very much, everybody. Now, before I do step aside, I'm going to ask you to join with me in prayer. And I'm going to pray for Bob and Mandy and the family's time away, and our time continuing here. Let us pray. God of Moriarty and beyond, God of Christmas and Easter, God of recreation, be with Bob, Mandy and the members of their family who might share with them their time away. May they catch plenty of fish, have plenty of recreation, and do all of the things that have not been possible during a time of great stress and great work this year. We look forward to our time with Alice. Give her your grace and fill her with your wisdom as she spends her time with us. We are your people in this place. We continue to look for ways of being at mission in your Son's name, in whom we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Thank you, Alice.
We have all given our offerings to the work of this church. Let us now dedicate those offerings with prayer. God of generosity, in this time of giving, we are grateful for what we have received from you. In this time of sharing, we are challenged to share what we have with others. Receive our gifts with our thanks as we dedicate them to the outworking of your kingdom and the incarnation of your love in action, here and across the world. In the name of the Christ child. Amen. Let us now pray for others. We will now give thanks for the love that surrounds us. Let us pray. Thank you, Father of Christ Jesus, for binding us together in communities and families, and for the complex interplay of each person with others. For those warm hugs of children, the unsettling insights of teenagers, and the married love that grows deeper through the years, we thank you. For nurturing friendships and for the sharp edge in the comments of those opponents who are willing to tell us home truths that our friends are reluctant to say. For those who listen to us when we are bewildered and those who ask questions which help us find our way through many an impasse. We thank you. For the frank appreciation of people who dare to express their respect for our gifts and affirm us without ulterior motives. For those gracious people who are there for us through times of illness, broken relationships, indecision, unemployment, and the death of a loved one. We thank you. For all who have a good sense of humor, who can laugh with us, but never at us, whose sweet sanity saves us from taking ourselves too seriously. For people whose patient love long ago set us on the paths of fruitfulness and beauty, and whose remembered words and smile still save us from doing something stupid, we thank you. For the people of the church, for those who may seem natural soulmates, and others who, like gadflies, irritate us and make us repeatedly re-examine our religious and ethical assumptions. Above all others, for Jesus of Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Golgotha, whose saving grace embraces us and links us together in a new family, which bridges heaven and earth. For this, the most extraordinary among all gifts, we offer you our deepest thanks and highest praise. Amen. Let us now hum along to "I Am the Light of the World."
Thank you, Bruce, for the prayer and the words of encouragement to catch a lot of fish on our holiday or our time away. Thank you to Alice for coming on and being on board in these next 6 weeks. I echo Bruce's welcome to you, and please make yourself known to Alice. Also, thank you to everyone who has participated in some way, whether in front of house or back of house over the Christmas period, lighting, camera work, prayers, preparation, lighting candles, whatever it is, flowers, singing, putting on the morning tea on Christmas Day for people. On your behalf, thank you for everyone that's been involved to make Christmas something significant in this different Christmas time. So as we go into the new year, we pray that the joy of the angels will go with you. The humility of the shepherds may be with you. The peace of the Christ child be ever with you. And God's gift to you and to all people this Christmas and always. And so the blessings of Almighty God, Creator, Imaginating, Father, Son, Spirit be with you now and always. Amen. Happy Christmas, post-Christmas, and Happy New Year. See you in a few weeks' time. Please remember you can exit the eastern door or wait until the cameras are removed from the back as you move in. And we finished early to give more time to get to know Alice. So there you go. Tea, coffee, whatever, in the hall if you're able to stay. Peace be with you.